You're tuned in to another episode of the Radio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Hayley Hayes. Today, we've got a very special treat for all the podcast lovers out there looking for something new. Joining me today is the incredibly talented Sylvie Carlos, the award-winning producer and presenter of the brand new podcast, Back That Book Up. Sylvie is also an alumni of the Radio Academy 30 Under 30 and is studying for her PhD. Without further ado, let's get into it.
You're listening to the Back That Book Up podcast. We're live. This podcast has been in the works for the longest amount of time, but procrastination is the enemy of progress. This podcast is hosted and produced by moi, Sylvie. Each episode, I'm going to be chopping it up with an author and deep diving into their latest book, discussing their passions, motivations, and who they are outside of their author identities. And just a little mingle. We're going to have fun. I don't know if anybody remembers the song, but it's like, girl, you look fine, won't you back that ass up? I'm like, yo, the book is good. Like, back that book up. So that's how the name came about. So we are going to do this right. I'm producing the content that I want to listen to. And can I just tell you, I've listened back to this content over the months and I have laughed the same way or been intrigued the same.
Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm really excited to have you because normally when I do my research, it's quite quick. But with you, because you've got so much going on, it actually took me some time to be able to cover all of the avenues and the career aspects that you have. So we'll see how much we get through. So for anyone that hasn't done the level of research I've done, would you mind just doing a quick elevator pitch on who you are, what you do in your various hats that you wear?
Okay, so my quick elevator pitch is I'm Sylvie and I secure the media bag. Which effectively, I think that I do a lot of things that encompass media. So audio, radio, podcasting, some hosting, some consultancy, and also media lecturing.
And what age do you lecture? Because you're at university grade, aren't you? So teaching people of similar age to you, how does that feel?
It feels fine. So the banter is sometimes I walk into the room, whenever I walk into the room for my first session, like I walked in, I saw these students, they looked at each other and then they started laughing and speaking in their home tongues. And then like it was like a weird thing where we all sort of looked at each other and there was like a giggle. And then I'm like, it's okay. I know that I know what I'm teaching, so I don't mind. But I know that there is a small apprehension where they look and thinking, that's my age, mate. But I know my stuff, so it is what it is.
And your PhD, tell me about that. How far are you into it and what are you covering?
So I'm 2 years into my PhD. I am covering the British audio industry effectively. So looking into how podcast and radio, the content, how it engages with black audiences in the UK. I worked in the audio industry maybe like 6+ years. And there were some things that I loved, but there were also a lot of issues that I thought kept reoccurring, and I was like, okay, I want a lot of this stuff to change. And when I then did sort of look and think, how can this change? Academia seemed to be one of the roots because that's how you influence policy and make people take you seriously.
Have you shared your PhD material with anyone yet? Like, have you actually tried to get it in front of people that can make a change, whether it's politicians or policymakers? I don't know.
So currently I'm doing the research in the field. So a lot of audio professionals have been really, really helpful. Commissioners, producers, presenters, etc., who have actually lent me their voice and been my interviewees.
The reason you're here today is because you're launching a new podcast, which is Back That Book Up. I've heard the first episode, I loved it, but I was just pleasantly surprised, I would say, about how deep you went into the political aspects and the social aspects. But then now hearing about your PhD, that probably makes a lot of sense. So how did you come up with the concept? How did you get started with this podcast?
I have been into books since I was a child. So I spoke about it briefly in my trailer, but effectively I used to go to the library as a kid, right? And I was like, oh, this is like a really nice half-term trip. And then as I got older, I was like, oh, we were broke. Like, that was the free trip. So I was accustomed to going to the library, getting books, reading and storytelling. So I'd always kept that thread. There'd been times throughout my teenage years and like 20s where sort of it kind of gone, but I always came back to it. It was just something that was really rooted in me. And I noticed that there weren't a lot of book podcasts very specifically, or just books in general. I found that the publishing industry were not telling a lot of stories that reflected people like myself, or forget even telling the stories. A lot of the authors Well, okay, so there's a bit of a clash here. So are there not enough authors of colour in the industry, or do they just not get the proper marketing? And that was one of my questions that I kept being frustrated about. I talked to some companies and I talked to people loosely about wanting to do the podcast, and I did a pilot with some people and nothing came about it. But I was like, actually, I have the tools. Like, I'm a producer, I know what to do, and I'm really, really passionate about it. And I just thought, if I'm going to start a podcast and be consistent, because that's really, really important, right? Anyone can start, but are you going to keep it up? And I thought, if I'm going to be consistent, it's going to be something that I'm deeply passionate about. So that's how it came about.
And so I have to ask, with the book thing and being so passionate about it from a young age, did you never want to, have you not got a book in you?
Do you know what, Hayley? That's so funny. So I started writing a book during lockdown, but not, like, I haven't, it's definitely not complete. I'm the queen of procrastination. I will have like 10-20 pages and then I'll put it on the shelf. So maybe one day I'll have a book, maybe one day.
You're also an award-winning radio and podcast producer outside of your own podcast. How has your experience outside in the industry helped you with creating your podcast? Did that help you or hinder you in some ways?
The hindrance was the procrastination, right? A lot of the work that I've been on have been like maybe like a flagship show that's been going for years. Like, they know what they're doing. They've got the structure down to the T. So I suppose I kept being like, oh, maybe I need to work on this. Maybe I need to keep doing that. And that's what, so a lot of the first two episodes were recorded in like April, May, because I just kept being like, what am I going to put out? When is a good time? Should I put it out? Is it good? And then that was one of the great things that actually benefited me. I came back to listen to it again in September and I was like, wow, this is not only good, like, I'm still engaged, but then it became more and more pressing and important that I did put it out based on the content and who I was speaking to, particularly in the first episode.
Just give me a quick summary of how you chose a book, what the book's around, and why it got you interested for your first episode.
I read fiction and non-fiction, but I was going for a real fiction stage, but I didn't want to read a rom-com. I wanted sort of like cultural / historical fiction. And I came across Enter Ghost. It was a book that just like blew my mind away. I think it encompassed a lot of the characteristics that maybe reflect the space that I'm in now. It was political, it was emotive, and it was thought-provoking. And those things, I think that was the space that I was in. And actually, to an extent, is the space that I am in also now. So through reading the book, and then also just the fact that it was a British Palestinian author. So the book was great regardless. But then I was like, who is this author? I've never heard of her before. And throughout my years, like when it comes to Palestine, I very much hear very small news pocketed or people having such strong opinions. But as a person, rather than a statistic and like almost like a, hence like a ghostly figure of these Palestinians, like I was able to sit down with a Palestinian author who was great and I learned more.
Just tell me more about how your work with the BBC, especially Radio 1 Extra, how you felt that experience and skills that you gained there helped you with your own work.
It did to a degree. Working with 1 Extra, on one hand, there was a degree of being unapologetic. I like to think that I'm unapologetic with all the work that I do, but I'm coming to a space that I am Black British and I'm very vocal about that experience. And I was creating content for the audience that I would like to say is my community, the Black British community. So I think those unapologetic elements and also being able to push back on, because in certain spaces, there's a big push for editorial judgment, and actually some things, it's not about editorial balance. Some things, this is someone's experience, someone's lived experience. You can't keep wanting to have a, let's get someone else's opinion on that. So I think being able to be in those spaces and advocate for those things made me a lot more confident when I started the podcast, to say, actually, this isn't about what you or anyone else thinks. This is someone's story. This is a sit down and this is really, really important, and being able to amplify. And I think that was one of the things that I took from working on the 1 Extra Talks project.
When you're making your content, even the first episode of Back That Book Up, did you make sure that it could speak to everyone no matter what their background? Because even I got a lot out of it.
I'm really, really happy, and it makes me really smile that you've said that, because in terms of inclusivity, a lot of people sit and say, well, is books for me? Books isn't for me. So for you to, I don't know if you're a reader or not, but it's really important. I think that's maybe where the sociological aspect comes in, where we all live in society, right? If you can pick things that people can find relatable or want to know enough about to go and do their further research, then I've done my job in this podcast.
Have you got your next book and author scheduled, or how do you go about finding the material? Is it always stuff that you've read previously, or is it stuff that you've, I don't know, contacted by PR or publisher?
So typically a lot of publishers do send me books, but I make sure that I've read the book. we were speaking about this in the first episode, Isabella Hamad, Enter Ghost author, she was saying to me, oh, like, what happens if you don't like the book? Like, will you get the author on? And I think I would, because, I mean, I would ideally prioritize a book that I really, really enjoyed, because then you're going to get the... you're going to get the motivation to really ask the questions and really deep dive. But I think there's also something that I think we don't do enough in society. You don't have to like something to interrogate it and actually know more about it. So maybe I didn't think the book was amazing, but actually, what's the thought process behind it? And also, sometimes you don't like a book. It could be the mood that you're in when you're reading it. Like, sometimes something like grammatically, I'm like, I don't like the book. It doesn't make sense. But sometimes it's actually, I'm not in the space to receive this book. I think that there's a mixture. So people sending me books and then I decide which one is at the top of my list. So I've recorded the second episode and that was wild. Like, we have this, I have this quote with the author and I call her the queen of mess, because the book is just messy. Like, the storyline is just an absolute, like, amazing mess. Like, there's so much tea and bits that are dropped from that book. So that one's going to be a lot more lighthearted. But then again, it raises questions as to things that you can relate to in society.
So tell me more, if you can tease me, tell me when's the next episode out and what's the book?
The book has actually been out for a couple of months. So the book came out this year. It's by Ori Agbaji Williams. She's a British Nigerian author. And effectively, there's three people. It's called The Three of Us. It's three people. It's wife, husband, and her best friend. The husband and the best friend hate each other. And you get to follow their storyline of a day of them potentially in the same house and living a day, and something, so much goes on, it's like, what? So I get to sit with the author, but also any questions that I'm like, sis, that's not realistic, or what, like, explain, I'm actually getting to sit down with the author and ask the questions. And I love that, because how often do you get the chance? How many people get the chance to do that?
How are you engaging your audience? Are you just doing a standalone podcast, or are you going to organise some kind of thing where people can feedback or maybe ask questions that they've got themselves about the book?
That is what I have asked. So initially, I've given my email address and they have access to my website where they can send over questions. Down the line, like to build more of a community. So like a book club where maybe people, because this is one of the major things that I was saying. Sometimes people want to be part of a book club. It could be that you live in remote areas. It could be that you're abroad. It could be that your homegirls or homeboys just don't like reading. And you, like, you want to read, but you feel a bit alone. So I want to eventually foster a sort of book club community where we can all come in together and feed in.
Have you got any plans to book a venue and you and an author sit down and do a live recording?
I would absolutely love to. So I think it'd be amazing. Maybe this time next year. I want to build the community first, but yeah, I could definitely see that happening. I'd love it.
With your podcast and hopefully the future events, how do you see the impact of your audience actually almost making a change within your community? Because it isn't just about the book, is it? It's about the messages and the change that you want to see in the world.
Hayley, you are going deep. Ooh. I genuinely want more people to be able to read. But also, if you do think that you want to get into literature, you want to become a writer, I want people to think it's not for someone like me, that everybody can be a part of it. I also think that literature and other elements, we talk about a lot about culture, right? People, the arts. I want more people to think that they belong in those spaces and that they can tell these amazing stories, whether they are fictional or actually it's someone's memoir and they really want to get their story across. So those things, I hope, makes a difference. And also, it's about, I hope that through, I mean, my podcast is one podcast, right? But I hope that a lot of these big platforms also take notice and stand up a bit straighter and start putting a lot more authors of colour on their rosters to speak about a lot of the topics and things that need to be spoken about. Because some of my episodes that I have done, some people, like, there's certain questions that people aren't being asked. You're dancing around certain things. And I think that is problematic. If we're talking about giving people a space, you can't police what you pick and choose from the book and what you pick and choose they can discuss. That's problematic for me. And I'm hoping that with my podcast, people feel a lot more empowered to actually go out and say, this is what I'd like to talk about. This is the story.
So you're doing a PhD, you've got your own podcast, you're a lecturer. How do you balance all that?
I have a weekly mentoring session that helps me. Like, so people have life coaches or whatever, like, however you, I have someone that helps me be accountable and helps me to plan my things. I'm also very, very mindful from sort of just my mental health and well-being. Being stagnant and not doing anything makes me actually feel down. Although doing too much at times makes me feel overwhelmed. So, like, take that how you want. But I would rather be doing more than doing less. And it feels really interesting to hear someone say that I'm doing a lot, because sometimes I wake up and I'm like, I'm not doing enough.
The Radio Academy are just starting a mentoring program, actually, for next year. It's an annual thing they do. I was part of it last year. You mentioned mentoring. How did you find a mentor, and how important is it to you?
Do you know, it's so funny that you've mentioned RAMP, because I was actually, I think I'm actually going to apply for it, because it's for sort of mid-level professionals, which I think is really, really good. Especially as when you think of mentoring, you often think as to people who have just entered. So yeah, no, I think mentoring is, for me, it's life-changing. It helps me to collate my thoughts. It also helps me to take stock of what is going on. And if I am having one of those days where I don't think I'm doing enough, having someone to actually remind me and like the very tangible facts of this is what you're doing, this is what you're doing. So it works really, really well for me.
What's the next step for you? Like, in 5 years' time, where do you imagine yourself? Are you still going to be working in the university? Are there other things that you've got planned?
5 years' time, I think I will have a very successful podcast, which hopefully I can do a lot of arts and culture-based things on the back of that. That would be really, really nice. Maybe a book. Hayley, you're inspiring me. You're motivating me. I think what I would really like to do is set up some sort of company. It could be a research company, something that consistently does research into the media industry and how it engages with Black audiences. So it doesn't specifically have to be radio, but just the relationship between the media and Black audiences, because I don't think enough research is being done. And sorry, just to be clear, there are a lot of people doing research, so I'm not knocking them at all, but I think that amplifying is always a good thing.
Awesome. So how do we keep in touch?
My recently updated website, frizzandgo.com. You can find out pretty much all that I'm doing. You can read any of my blog posts and my amazing book reviews. And then you can find out all of those things on a podcast. And my Twitter is Sylvie_C.
And there you have it. A huge thank you to my incredible guest, Sylvie Carlos, for sharing her passion, insights and expertise with us today. It was truly enlightening to delve into the world of literature, sociology and podcasting with such a talented lady. Don't forget to subscribe to the Radio Academy podcast if you haven't done already, so you don't miss the next episode. Until then, bye for now.